can be seated and go to Psalm 145. And Psalm 145, kind of right in the middle of your Bible there, Psalm 145. And just wanted to mention a couple things while you're turning there. Just a few little housekeeping items. First of all, we've got our Easter Sunday invites ready to go. They look like this. And on the back is it says Resurrection of Christ has the times of the services that day. April 4th is Easter, a few weeks away. So take those and make it a goal to hand out four or five of those this week to someone and invite them. People are looking for a place to go on Easter Sunday. Invite them to Crossroads. Say, hey, I want you to come to my church and invite them. So those are everywhere. These are scattered all throughout the Connections area. So you can grab those. And then also I wanted to mention that you may notice on the back of this Easter invite, it says Easter service times, 8, 9:30, or 11 a.m. We are going to three services next Sunday, back to three, all right? We're going to finally get it back to three. With COVID, we went from three to zero. And then we went from zero to two, and now we're going back to three. So three services next Sunday, 8, 9:30, and 11. The biggest impact for you guys, most of you probably won't go to the 8 o'clock, I get that. Especially on Time Change Sunday, amen? But the biggest impact for this hour would be those who are watching online right now. I want you to make a note that we're going to move, we're going to dial back our live broadcast on our YouTube channel. The live broadcast will no longer be 11, it'll be 9:30. So that's, if people are watching online right now, and they like to catch it live, it'll be broadcast live at 9:30. You can still watch it at 11 because it'll be posted and be up, but it'll actually start at 9:30 on Sunday mornings now. And then I wanted to mention one more thing, and that is that on the bottom of your handout, you'll notice that we're having a family Spring Family Fest March 27th. Number one, invite families to come. There'll be inflatables, games, free food, all kinds of fun stuff for kids that day from 1 to 4. Show the love of the Lord. Show the fruit of the Spirit's working in your life and get involved and help. Take a couple hours on a Saturday and serve the Lord, serve our community, and get involved. You can check off. These are our needs down here for volunteers. Check that off. Tear it off. Put it in the offering boxes as you leave the Connections area. And you'll be all signed up and ready to help with that event. And we appreciate it. We thank you. We couldn't do it without our volunteers, and it means a lot to us. All right, so let's dive in here. We're going to get back in today to the fruit of the Spirit. And if you look over here to the left, it says the fruit of the Spirit, right? That's from Galatians 5. And it says the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, when God's Spirit is alive in you, and when God's Spirit is working in your life, there's some beautiful fruit that comes out in your life. It shows up. The fruit of the Spirit is, and then over here to your right are the nine things that God lists that are beautiful, a beautiful harvest, a beautiful crop of things that show up, the fruit that shows up when you're letting God work in your life and grow you and change you. We've already covered the first three. And you see them, right? What are the first three fruit of the Spirit? Say it with me. Love, joy, peace. Don't those all sound so nice? Don't they? They sound so spiritual. So churchy. Love, joy, peace. Then comes the fourth one, patience. Ugh. Really? Patience? The first three sound so heavenly. Love, joy, peace. Makes you want to sing, doesn't it? In the sweet by and by, I'll have love, joy, and peace in the sky. Hey, that rhymed. That's pretty good, wasn't it? And so those first three sound so heavenly, love, joy, and peace. Then all of a sudden, the fourth one brings you back down to earth on Monday morning, amen? It's like patience. Oh, man. But yet, I'm being silly a little bit here, guys. I like to laugh. But I'm telling you, that fourth one is really important. Because without the fourth one, patience, you're going to struggle to have lasting relationships in your life. If you don't have the fruit of patience, you're going to hurt the important relationships in your life. You're going to hurt your kids. You know, you're going to hurt people without the fruit of patience. You're going to alienate people. You're going to not be much fun to be around as a person. The fruit of patience, it's really important for healthy relationships. Really important. Really, really important. Patience is so vital. And the word patience means long-tempered. Can you say that with me? Long-tempered. Long-tempered, right. And the old English word, which we don't use a lot anymore, was long-suffering. Webster's defines long-suffering as patiently enduring lasting offense or hardship. So in the Bible, whenever you see in your Bible, whenever you see patience, it's going to speak of two things. One of two. First of all, the Bible speaks of patience as the ability to endure for a long time adverse circumstances. And the idea is you handle this opposition, this suffering, this adversity in your life, but you don't just endure it, you actually show perseverance for God through it. You actually love God through it. You're faithful to God through it. So patient in the Bible can mean enduring adverse circumstances. But then there's a second aspect to it, and that is patience is not just enduring adverse circumstances. Sometimes patience in the Bible is the ability to endure adverse people. Now, we don't have any of those at Crossroads, amen? We don't have any adverse people at Crossroads. Let's just pretend we do, all right? So patience is the ability to put up with the weaknesses, the failures of other people, and to actually show forbearance towards them without getting quickly irritated and angry or seeking revenge. So to summarize, in your handout, I've got it there. There's not a lot of blanks today, okay? Well, I'll explain why in a minute. But there are a few blanks at the beginning, so I hope you'll get this. To summarize, patience in the Bible is used two ways. Number one is patiently enduring problems. And then the second aspect is patiently enduring people. So patience is a tough sort of word. Can I get an amen out there, huh? It's a tough sort of word. You know, patience demands strength and stamina. It means that, in another statement in your handout, it means that we're able to control our emotions and our responses to circumstances and people. We're able to control our emotional responses. None of that's easy. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you this is easy stuff. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit. It takes the supernatural work of God in your life to do this stuff. I'm a very impatient person by nature. I'm telling you flat out that of those nine up there, this is the biggest struggle for me. Yeah, it is. I am not a patient person at all by nature, and it's not something that's come easy for me. God's been working me over on this thing for a really long time. And have I arrived and am I perfect? Absolutely. I never struggle anymore with this. Kidding. I struggle a lot with it. I like to think I'm a lot better than I was 20 years ago. But yeah, I mean, I still struggle with this. You know, it's not easy. Patience is not an easy thing. Especially if, you know, you were accustomed maybe to not controlling your emotions. Like when you grew up, your parents really didn't make you control them, and you threw tantrums, and you kicked and screamed and hollered to get your way, and you really, you know, well, you become an adult. That stuff doesn't just go away. It's tough. You still want to just lose your cool and scream and holler and all that, right? And it's kind of your default setting, if you will. And then it could be you watched your parents lose control often. And so that was your example. Well, all that makes it even tougher. And so the bottom line is that patience doesn't come naturally to most of us. Please, somebody say amen right there so I don't feel so carnal up here, all right? Patience doesn't come naturally to most of us. It's like, I want patience and I want it now. It just doesn't come natural. And that's why we need the Spirit of God to help it grow in our lives. Because here's the deal. Even if you're kind of an easygoing person, now some people are. Some people, you would think, well, they're just naturally patient. They're easygoing. Nothing really riles them. They kind of got that California surfer personality. Just kick back, take it easy. Man, don't get stressed out, man, you know. Even if you're that way and you're just kind of a naturally easygoing person, that still really isn't biblical patience. Because biblical patience is the ability to endure adverse circumstances or adverse people and do it with a real love for God. In other words, you love the Lord through it. You love Jesus. You love people through this. So it's not just you got an easygoing personality and you're patient. No, biblical patience is you're doing it with God in mind. It's God working in and through you, you know, and it's God helping you to love him and be faithful to him despite this adversity in your life. That's patience, biblically. And so, you know, by the way, if you look up here, patience really comes out of the fruit that preceded it. What fruit comes right before patience? Peace. Patience comes out of the fruit of peace. Patience is when the peace of God rules your heart, and then it shows in your dealings with others. It shows in how you handle adversity and adverse circumstances, and how you handle people who are just a pain in your backside. And it shows, right? The peace of God rules your heart, and it shows. So, before we think too much about how we should behave, though, when it comes to patience, I really want to contemplate God's patience this morning. Because remember, the fruit of the Spirit, look up there, what's it called? The fruit of the what? Spirit. It's God's Spirit. And so it's the fruit of God, really. It's His Spirit. So remember, the fruit of the Spirit is when God is alive in you, in God's own character, in God's own His character, God's virtue is being displayed in and through you in your daily life. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's God's life at work in you. And so that's why it's really important that we look at the patience of God first, because that's what we want to live in and through us is His patience. So we need to examine God's patience. So have you, that's why, by the way, I've got so many verses I wanted to look at, that I said, you know what, this Sunday we're just going to put verses. So there's a lot of verses. It's in your handout to save time. So they're not all there. Some of them I'm going to put on the screen. Some are in your handout. A few of them we're going to look at in Psalm. But I want us to consider the patience of God. By the way, have you ever thought much about God's patience and how amazing it is? That's the attribute of God that I think astounds me personally the most. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed, and I've just been like, God, thank you for your patience. Thank you for being so patient with me. I marvel. I really do. I marvel at His patience. And you know, I expect God to be loving. I expect Him to be holy and just and righteous, but patient? Usually powerful people are not patient. Usually powerful people are kind of used to snapping their fingers and getting it right away. And usually real powerful people that are like, you know, really powerful politician or a powerful business owner, a powerful CEO, you know, someone who's just really powerful, usually they don't have a whole lot of patience for ineptitude, people around them who are always messing up, people around them who don't perform well. Powerful people, man, they'll just fire you, get rid of you, get out of my life, you know. I will replace you with somebody else. Powerful people, in my experience, usually are not real patient. But here you got God, who's perfectly holy, righteous, hates sin. He's all powerful. And yet he puts up with me. Day after day. And he still loves me. And he still works with me. And he doesn't just say, you know what, you keep messing up, I'm done with you. I fire you. I'm going to replace you with someone else. I'm done. You know, no, it's like he keeps working with me and he loves me. It's like, wow. I can't get over his patience with me. You know? How many of you guys in here are amazed by that, huh? I mean, anybody in here, like, I mean, most of us in here didn't just come out of the womb serving God, loving God, and then we've just done that our whole life, have we? Anybody spend any time, like, not seeking God and not close to God? You know, anybody in here been away from God? Aren't you glad that God didn't zap you, amen? Aren't you glad for how patient he is? You know, we think of God as being more harsh in the Old Testament of the Bible, and then we think of the meek, lowly, patient Jesus in the New Testament. But patience is actually part of God's character throughout the entire Bible. For example, second book of the Bible, it's in your handout. Look at Exodus 34:6. It's right here in your handout. And it says that the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. And then look at this, slow to anger. That's bolded. Abounding in goodness and truth. And the reason why I bolded that is because slow to anger is a great way to express the fruit of patience. God has a long fuse. He's slow to anger. Another example of that is in Psalm 78. And that chapter details how good God had been to his people in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel. And it goes on in that chapter to tell about how good God had been to them, and then how they constantly provoke God, how they constantly sinned against God, how they basically just took his grace, took his goodness, and just said, this is what I think about your grace and goodness to us, and just trampled and just walked all over it. And yet, look what the Bible says in that chapter in Psalm 78. Let's bring it up. It says, for their heart, Israel's heart, was not devoted to him, neither were they committed to his covenant. And what that means right there is that like a husband who's got absolutely no regard for his marriage covenant with his wife, some husband that is not one bit devoted to his wife, he is not committed to the covenant he made with her in marriage, he couldn't care less about it, that was Israel. They didn't care about it. They were not devoted to God. They were like an unfaithful spouse. They just were completely non-committed to the covenant they made with God. But look at the next verse, and it's in your handout. It says, but God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. He constantly restrained his anger. Notice how that's bolded. And he did not stir up all his wrath. You look at that and you're like, man, what divine patience. Sometimes we struggle to restrain our anger, right? It's like we get angry so easily. You know, whether it's, you know, we get angry with the inept waitress, or we get angry so soon with the what we view as the inept driver on the other side of the road. You know, we get mad so easy. Seriously, we get mad so quickly. You know, it's like, you know, you get behind somebody's stoplight, and it's like, it turns green, and they don't go. And my dad used to always say, that's the only shade of green it comes in. My dad was real, he was very easygoing. That's about the maddest he'd get. That's about the only shade of green it comes in. And, you know, he'd just say it to himself, you know, and I'd get tickled. But, you know, we get so mad so easy. You know, bite the head off of our spouse or our kids or, you know, our parents or, you know, our friends. And we're just so quick to get mad. And, you know, and then people do that at church. They get so mad at church. And then they're going to go find another church. And they hop from church to church because, you know what, you go to a church and then somebody offends you. You know? Or the pastor. Me. Says something you don't like. Preaches on something you don't like. Says something you don't agree with. I'm going to another church. Too quick. What do we need? We need patience. We need patience. We got to be patient. You know, people hop from relationship to relationship because they don't know how to restrain their anger. God restrained his anger. What do we need in our life? We need patience. You know, another illustration of God's amazing patience is the story of a pagan Gentile city in the Old Testament called Nineveh. And this was a really, really like wicked city with full of violence, full of atrocities, really. Like they would take their babies, seriously, and they would throw them into a fire just to sacrifice them to their false gods. And I mean, they were just like, it was a wicked, violent city full of atrocities. Well, God had been patient, but finally, after years of patience, God said, I'm going to destroy them. That's it. I can't handle this anymore. Their wickedness has to be judged. Judgment has to come. And so, even then, God would give them one more chance. And so, God called upon his prophet, Jonah, who was a Jew and was very prejudiced against Gentiles. He didn't want to go. In fact, y'all remember that God gave Jonah a message to give to Nineveh. And you remember there were some interesting detours before he got there. Remember that? And after some interesting detours, Jonah finally gets to Nineveh. And he says, okay, here's the message that God said, I want you to tell them. In 40 days, your time's up. In 40 days, you guys are done. Almighty God, the true God, is going to bring judgment on this city. You are toast. No, you are burnt toast in 40 days. God is going to wipe this city out. Well, lo and behold, guess what? They repented. They actually got right with God. And they repented and they sought God and they asked God not to do it. And they sought after him. They changed their ways. And God did not bring judgment like he said he was going to do. Well, Jonah had a really bad attitude about that. Because Jonah was prejudiced against them. He couldn't stand them. And Jonah inside, God, Jonah, he wanted God to zap him. Get him. Get him, God. Unfortunately, like a lot of Christians' attitude, wasn't real great. And he's like, get him! And when God didn't get him, Jonah was upset. Like I said, he was a man. He wasn't perfect. He had a bad attitude. But here's what I want to point out. You know what he prayed after this? Look in your handout. I've got it in your handout. Jonah 4:2. This is what he told the Lord. He prayed to the Lord and he said, oh Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own land? This is the reason that I fled before to Tarshish. This is why I didn't want to come here. Because I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in faithfulness, and ready to relent from punishment. Jonah is like, that's why I didn't want to come here. I had a feeling this was going to happen. I know you, God, and I know how you are, and you're slow to anger, you're patient. Part of God's character, listen to me now, please hear me. Part of God's character is that he is slow to anger or patient. and we all better be real glad and thankful that he is. Some of us test God's patience more than others, amen? I know I test it a lot more than my wife, I'm sure. All right, she's a lot sweeter and kinder than me, and I'm sure I test his patience a lot more than Denise does. But some of us test it more than others, but God is very patient, very slow to anger. In fact, I got a few verses in your handout. Look at it with me. Psalm 86:15. Again, all Old Testament. It says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in mercy and truth." Look at the next one, Psalm 103:8-10. He says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always accuse, neither will he keep his anger forever." Notice this: God does not treat us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, so often, what do? We do unto others as they do unto us. If they're hateful to us, we're hateful to them. If they're rude to us, we're rude to them. If they treat us like garbage, we treat them like garbage. But aren't you thankful God doesn't do that with us? He's patient. Look in your Bible. I had you turn to Psalm 145. If you don't have your Bible, it's on the screen here too. But look at Psalm 145, verse 5. I love this. David says, "I will speak of the glorious," notice this, "I will speak of the glorious honor of your majesty and of your wondrous works. They shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall abundantly declare the fame of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness." David was a man after God's own heart. Man, David knew God. And David is like, "God, you are mighty. You are glorious. You are powerful. You are wondrous." Look at those words. "You do awesome acts. You are great. You are famous. You are good. You are righteous." And then he turns around after all that, basically saying, "God, you're so powerful." Then look what he says in verse 8. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy." He said in verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all his works." Church, don't we have a great God? The psalmist, man, he knew God. David knew God so well. And David is like, "Yes, he's powerful. Yes, he's famous. Yes, he's mighty. Yes, he's awesome in acts. But he's so gracious and tender and full of mercy and compassion. And he's patient." Whew. But let me say this to you. As I'm winding this message down, I want to say this to you. The patience of God does not mean that, please hear me now, it does not mean that he excuses sin, sweeps it under the rug, and acts like it doesn't exist. God is not that way. All right? It just means, when we talk about his patience, it just means that God is not swift to anger. He's not swift to immediate judgment. His patience and his compassion gives people time to repent and turn to him. In fact, I think Romans 2:4 summarizes it so well. This is an incredible verse. Look at it. It's in your handout. Romans 2:4, he says, he asked the question. Now look at this. He says, "Do you despise the riches of God's goodness, tolerance, and patience? Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Now, let's just stop there a minute. Let's leave that on the screen. Look at that on the screen now. Do you despise the riches of God's goodness, tolerance, and patience? How do you despise? I was thinking about that. And I'm like, how do you despise the tolerance and the patience of God? And you know what the answer to that is? By thinking that it will last forever. By thinking and expecting that you can just go on in your sin, never repent of it, and that his tolerance and patience will be forever? That's how you despise it. you don't repent, you don't ever change, you don't ever turn to God or want to change. Because you know what the next verse says? After he talks about the tolerance and the patience of God, look at the next verse. Let's go ahead and go to it. Look on the screen. He says, but because of your hardness and impenitent, that means unrepentant heart, you are storing up treasures of wrath against yourself on the day of wrath when the righteous judgment of God will be revealed. So he will eventually bring justice to every situation. So his patience doesn't eliminate his justice. It just means he's not swift to anger and swift to bring judgment. This entire time period that we're living in right now is a testimony to the patience of God. You know what it's called? Paul called this time period that you're living in right now the dispensation of grace. And what that means is that God is dispensing his grace to this world right now. Well, think about that. Why is this time period called the time of grace? Here's why. Because the world deserves the wrath of God. You see, this world system that's controlled by Satan down here on this earth right now, this world system took the Messiah, the Son of God, the one from heaven, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, the one who never sinned, never did anybody any harm, did nothing but good to people. This world system, out of envy and jealousy and out of a hatred for God, took the Son of God and mocked him, treated him brutally, and hung him on a cross. And it was prophesied that when that event happened, that God would finally respond with wrath. He would bring his wrath upon this satanic world system. He would abolish it, and he would bring in his glorious kingdom from heaven on this earth. That's what was prophesied. When that happened, the wrath of God would come. But in God's patience, instead of bringing wrath, he's extended grace. And he's giving people right now, everyone in the world, an opportunity to turn to him and be saved. And that's the only reason God's allowing sin to go on unchecked today. Is he's giving grace. He's patient. It's his patience. And right now, we are living in a grace period. In fact, I have a chart up here. If you look at that chart up there, you'll notice over here on the left, you got the cross, and it was prophesied that when the cross happened and this world system took the Messiah and hung him on a cross and just totally disrespected him and killed him, that the wrath of God would come. Instead of the wrath, and then once the wrath came, if you go over here to the right, to the red, the wrath would be poured out. Jesus would come back at the revelation and would establish his kingdom on this earth and replace Satan, put him out of business, and Christ's kingdom would come to this earth. Instead of God bringing wrath, instead of God bringing judgment back here, you are living in that blue parentheses. That's where you're at right now. And that blue parentheses, you know what that is? That's a grace period. And what that means is instead of God bringing the wrath that was due, God gave us grace instead. You guys know what a grace period is. You got a bill, and the bill is due on the first of the month, and then they give you a grace period. In other words, maybe the grace period is until the 15th. And even though the bill was due back on the first, they are not going to bring any penalty. They are not going to call it due. They are not going to bring any kind of judgment to you until the 15th, because there's a grace period in there where you basically, the bill is due, you owe them the money, but yet they're not going to call it due. They're going to give you a grace period with no penalty whatsoever. Today, God Almighty, because of his amazing patience, he said, I'm not going to bring the wrath on this world system that it deserves. Instead, I am going to bring I'm going to bring my grace, and I'm going to give everybody in the world an opportunity to be saved from their sins, to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for them on the cross when he paid for their sins. And I am going to give the world a grace period. Even though the bill is due, I'm not going to call it due. I'm going to give the world a grace period. Amen. And right now, you are living in that grace period. And if you're saved today, it's because of the grace and the patience of God. You can thank his patience for the reason why you're saved today. Because God has not called the bill due yet. He will, though, one day. The bill is due. And God will call it in. And God is going to destroy this world system. In fact, if you look at the verse on the screen, notice how wrath will eventually come upon people who have despised the tolerance and the patience of God. It says one day Jesus will return, and it says in flaming fire, which is a picture of judgment. He's going to take vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They have spurned and rejected and despised the grace and goodness and patience of God. You say, Pastor Dan, how patient is God? Can we go back to that chart? Do you see that blue parentheses up there? That started after the cross, and God has been extending this grace period for almost 2,000 years now. The bill has been due, and God's given a grace period of nearly 2,000 years. That's how patient God is. While people all over this earth reject God, reject Jesus Christ, they curse his name, they mock him, they sin against him, they act like God doesn't even exist, they give him no thanks and no glory whatsoever, sin against him in every conceivable way, but yet God continues to withhold and restrain his wrath and invites people to simply turn to Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the kind of patience that God wants to develop in you and me. And when you think about the incredible patience of God, I don't know about you, but when I think about that kind of patience, it makes me feel kind of small when I fly off the handle for the smallest things. When you bite the head off of family members, when you hold grudges over petty offenses and silly things, you get angry when you feel slighted, you look at the patience of God and you're like, why do I act this way? Well, we're human, but we need a supernatural work of his Spirit to develop patience in us. That's what we need. And you think about Jesus and how he patiently endured the offenses of those who crucified him that day. You know, Hebrews talks about, the book of Hebrews talks about how Jesus endured the cross. That speaks of patience. He endured that adverse circumstance with a right attitude and a right heart and still loving God. And that's biblical patience. When you get treated like garbage, you know what I mean? And you're still able to love the Lord and stay faithful to God and love people and keep a right heart, that's patience. And Jesus not only patiently endured those offenses that day, but there he bore our sins and our offenses against God on the cross that day. What an example of divine patience. And that Spirit of Christ lives in us now if we're saved and we know the Lord. That Spirit of Christ lives in us, and he wants to bear the fruit of patience in our daily lives. He wants us to have that same kind of grace and patience that God has with this world. He wants us that patience of God to live through us towards our kids, towards our spouse. You know, I mean, sometimes, like with our kids, you know, you got to discipline your kids. That's biblical, too. You can't let them get away with disobedience and rebellion and things. But I think sometimes we're a little too hard on our kids. I know we were. I look back, I think we were too hard on them. There's certain things that are just childish, how should I word it? Childish exuberance. You know? And sometimes we get angry so easy with our kids. They really don't deserve it. They're just being a kid. We're just not patient with them. But it goes the other way too. Oh, believe me, they pay us back when they get to be teenagers. They pay us back. And then they're very impatient with us. And you know what? Teenagers that are in here, believe it or not, your parents actually know things you don't know. They actually aren't stupid. You know, they actually know some things that you don't know. And teenagers sometimes are very impatient with their parents and treat them with disrespect. And they don't treat them with patience at all. This divine patience, we need that with our friends. We need that with people who irritate us. We need this at church. We need it with the pastor. Amen. We need it with, you know, each other at church, because we're all so imperfect. You say, well, that church up there is a bunch of hypocrites. And, well, yeah, why do you think we're in church? Of course. We're all hypocrites to a certain extent. That's why we're here. Amen. We're all imperfect trying to get better. Amen. We're trying to grow and get better. And we need that same patience that Jesus displayed, you know, as he went through the cross for you and I. We need that patience. And it will do so much for you. And so what we need to do is pray this week, and I want to challenge you. I'm serious. I'm going to challenge all of you to read these verses this week several times. And I want you, in your prayer time this week, each day, to thank God for his patience, specifically with you. Because y'all know how that can be. Dear Lord, thank you for being so patient with my wife. I don't know how you do it, God. I want you to thank him for his patience with you. Okay? And I want you to really let this be on your radar this week for how patient God is with us. And let's see if that shows up better in our dealings with others. Amen, church? All right, let's pray.